So let's look at the histogram. The dynamic range that we have discussed earlier gives you global information on the extent or the spread of intensity or density or brightness in the image. The dynamic range simply gives you the minimum and the maximum, or the ratio between the two. It doesn't tell you how the other values are spread in between and what the probabilities of occurrence of other values are. If you want detailed information of that nature, you have to go to the histogram, or you must compute the histogram of the image, which will give you the information on the spread of gray levels, the number of times each gray level occurs in the image. If you have 8 bits per pixel, there are 256 values, 0, 1, 2, 3, and so on, 255. So all you do is ask how many times 0 has occurred in the image, how many times 1 has occurred, count, make a plot, that gives you the histogram. Being engineers and mathematicians and scientists, we would like to express even simple notions in equation format. And this is a particularly complicated form of representation of the histogram using the delta function. So consider an image fmn of size m by n pixels, as we have discussed earlier, with gray levels L going 0, 1, 2, 3, capital L minus 1. The histogram may be computed just by counting how many times 0 has occurred, how many times 1 has occurred, and so on. But mathematically, you may want to write it this way. There are other ways. But here, PF of L, capital P, I'll use to indicate the histogram, the count of the number of occurrences. The subscript F indicates the name of the image, which we call here F. L is the gray level. So what is that? Wherever fmn is equal to L, you increment that count, PFL. So ask how many times fmn is equal to L, and that you can do by summing on the entire image and using the delta function. The unit impulse or discrete delta function, delta D of k, is 1 if k equal to 0. Wherever the argument is equal to 0, the delta function is 1. And zero otherwise. It is similar to the Dirac delta function, but this is the discrete case. In the continuous case, you say the value is undefined. It is infinite with the impulse written with the arrow. And the area under the curve, the Dirac delta function, is equal to 1. But here it is directly equal to 1. So wherever fmn is equal to L, this is equal to 1. So you sum on the entire image. That is the histogram. And do this for all L. All gray levels. There are some basic properties. If you sum all the values of the histogram, capital P, sum on all L, you get MN, the number of pixels in the image. That means all pixels have been counted. The area under the function PFL, when multiplied with some scaling factor, will give you the total intensity or density or whatever the physical factor, physical parameter that your image is representing. So the area under the curve has some physical connotation. Depends upon the parameter represented by the pixel values. The normalized histogram could be taken to be an estimate of the probability density function. The histogram is simply the count, but if you divide by mn, the number of pixels, then the values will be between 0 and 1, giving the probability of occurrence of each gray level in the image. Now, you cannot get the PDF just from one image. Typically, one would have to observe a large number of occurrences of images of the same category, such as X-ray images of the brain or head, or X-ray images of the chest. Get a number of images, get their histograms, and average the histograms, then you can claim that you have a probability density function that represents that class of images, the class being represented by, for example, X-ray images of the head, of the skull or brain, X-ray images of the chest, X-ray images of the abdomen, and so on. And there too, you may want to put limits and say these are images of adults, adult males versus adult females, or pediatric cases, and so on. So then you have a PDF, a probability density function, to characterize that class of images where you average the histograms of a number of images and normalize them by the size of the image. Or actually, you normalize each one and then average the histograms, or somehow divide by the total number of pixels. A few examples of histograms. Here is the myocyte image I showed earlier. It's a fairly dark, dull image. And this is the histogram, which is limited to a small range within the total range of 0 to 255 for the brightness available with 8 bits per pixel. Now, there are some values here, dark values. I don't know if there are any values here. The count is very small, negligible. So the image is occupying primarily about 50 or 60 gray levels out of 255. It is not occupying the full range. So one could say this image has been inefficiently quantized because it is not making use of the full dynamic range available, and hence the dull appearance. Here's an image of the cross-section of a ligament with the collagen fibers in cross-section. It's almost black and white, but there is some grayscale variation within each cross-section. The original histogram is this, where you see these spikes, which could be due to quantization, noise due to quantization, or some noise present in the image. After smoothing the image with a mean filter, I'll explain the mean or averaging filter later, the histogram became this, where you can clearly see two modes or two peaks. There's a peak here corresponding to 150, which is darker than the other peak, which is close to 250, about 240 or so. So this peak corresponds to the background because the background is brighter than the objects. The objects, which are these cross-sections of the collagen fibers, are darker, so this is called a bimodal histogram. Bimodal meaning having two modes or two peaks, one corresponding to the background, one corresponding to the object. If the object and background had unique values, let's say 100 for the objects and 200 for the background, then you would just have two peaks, two values in the histogram, and everything else zero. That is not the case because of some variation in the background and some variation in the object. So these are two peaks that are overlapping. If you want to put a threshold and separate them, the best threshold would be perhaps the valley in between, the minimum in between here. That could be used for binarization. So the histogram tells us something about the distribution of the gray levels within the image, but will also give us some information on what kinds of objects could be present, and if there are objects of a certain density versus a background of another density, you would expect a bimodal histogram like this. If it is an image that is fairly dull, without much variation, one would expect a unimodal histogram where there's only one mode. It is not bimodal. So the distinction I want to make here is unimodal versus bimodal histogram. And then if you have an image that is more complicated, such as this part of a mammogram, you have high density tissue corresponding to a tumor, low density corresponding to fatty tissue, medium density corresponding to other breast tissue, and low density outside the breast, which is just air, then the histogram is different. Very low density could be air, slightly higher could be fat, slightly higher could be intermediate breast tissue, and much higher could be tumor, but you don't see a clear peak for the tumor. So you see clearly 1, 2, 3 peaks, but these peaks may not be of interest in separation of the tumor. The tumor is somewhere here. If you want to separate the breast tissue from the background, then that peak may be appropriate. So this histogram could be called a multimodal histogram because you have clearly at least three peaks or modes of the histogram. If the peaks are not clearly evident in the histogram, you could take the log of these values, and by taking the log, you'd be emphasizing smaller differences and smaller values. And you may be able to observe a peak in the higher density here if you take the log. And then you may be able to see a small peak corresponding to the high density tissues. Here's an example of a CT image. Excuse me. Of a patient with neuroblastoma. It is an image in the abdomen. This is the liver. This is the tumor, fairly big, with calcified tissue inside the tumor. Necrosis, low density, dead tissue, medium density, tumor tissue, corresponding to or comparable to the density of liver. You see the bones, the ribs there, the spinal column, the spinal canal. This is the examination table or the bench, high density. And the histogram of only that section is this. The histogram of the entire CT study of the patient with 75 sectional images at different levels from the neck through to the pelvis is this histogram. So here again you have multiple modes, 1, 2, 3, 4, at least four clearly seen modes. And here 1 and 2, maybe that, maybe that. So by looking at the histogram, you know where you have large numbers of pixels, or in the volume, you would call them voxels or volume elements, corresponding to certain Hounsfield units. The Hounsfield units are shown here. You may not be able to read them here. Going from 0 to, I'm sorry, this is the count, 0 to 2,500. The Hounsfield units are on the x-axis, the abscissa here, minus 200 to plus 400. Zero is here. This is water. Minus 10, minus 20, minus 50 would correspond to fat. Minus 200, minus 300, minus 400 to about minus 1,000 would correspond to different levels of lung tissue, depending upon the pixel size and averaging. The density could vary. Air is minus 1,000, but in the lungs, you don't get a pixel or voxel of just air because the size of a pixel is about half a millimeter by half a millimeter, and the size of a voxel would be half a millimeter by half a millimeter by 5 millimeters thickness of the slice. So that won't be completely air. It will contain some lung tissue. So lung tissue would be negative 200 to negative 600, 700. So these values will be air. In the stomach, there could be pockets of air, and that would be only air. So that would be minus 1,000. And then we have some intermediate tissue, liver, kidneys, and several abdominal organs have Hounsfield units of plus 50 to plus 100. And they would be here. And there is a peak also at 100. Most of these would be the soft tissues in the abdomen. There was some bone and calcified tissue, and they would be here, 300 Hounsfield units and higher. Between 200 and 300 could be calcified tissue of different density. And beyond that, there could be bone, but we have plotted only up to 400 Hounsfield units. So the histogram here tells us the presence of pixels or voxels with different Hounsfield units related to density or attenuation coefficient of X-rays in the human body. So if you want to segment a certain portion, you could use the information given by the histogram to design your segmentation algorithm. So the histogram gives you the information on the spread of the values and their occurrence over the dynamic range of the image. To quantify the spread of the histogram, there is a measure that is a statistical measure of information known as entropy. There is also a thermodynamic measure of measure related to entropy, or called entropy, but here we are using the statistical measure of information called entropy. In this context, entropy is a measure of information. In this chapter, we started by asking the question, how can we quantify information? How can we quantify quality? I want to put quality and information together in some cases. In some cases, a large dynamic range may mean higher quality than a small dynamic range. It depends upon the application. So in that case, the measure of information and quality might overlap in meaning. So if you want to ask the question, how wide is the histogram, or how the occurrence of pixel values is spread over the dynamic range of the image, then entropy is a useful measure. Now, entropy is defined in a certain manner, and we need to set up the rules for this. So let's go through some details. The pixels in an image are considered to be symbols produced by a discrete information source with gray levels as the states. In probability-based problems, you typically consider the problem of tossing a coin and asking how many times do you get heads or head, how many times you get tail, and you get a distribution. But there are only two possibilities, and if you conduct a large number of experiments with a fair coin, you expect the number of occurrences of head to be equal to number of occurrences of tail. Now, that is a situation where there are only two possible states of the system, the coin, not counting when the coin would sit on the edge, but that is ignored. In an image, when you have 8 bits per pixel, there are 256 states, considering the gray levels, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 255. Now, suppose there is a system that gives you values, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on, up to 255, at random or in some manner. How you put them to arrange the image is a different question. An image is a collection of pixels. Not considering the spatial placement of the pixels, a histogram simply says the number 0 occurred 50 times, the number 10 occurred 22 times, the number 22 occurred 200 times, whatever. It doesn't say where in the image these occurrences were placed. So, if there are capital L number of gray levels and there is a source giving you these values, and the probabilities are P of L, for L going 0 to capital L minus 1, that is a representation of the mechanism of generation of the data. The probability density function PL characterizes the mechanism of generation. And that is related to the histogram of the image, of an image obtained from this process. Here, the gray level of a pixel is considered to be a random variable, or a variable produced by the system that is throwing out pixel values. A measure of information conveyed by an event is related to the statistical uncertainty of the event. And here, an event is a pixel. You observe a pixel with a certain gray level, that is an event of the random variable or the process you're considering. The probability of occurrence has a direct relationship with the statistical measure of information conveyed by such an event. It has nothing to do with the spatial organization of the pixel values. It has nothing to do with the structure or the semantics. At this stage, we're not concerned as to what the image is. Is it an X-ray image of the chest or of the brain, or is it an outdoor scene of a building? We don't care. We just want to know what is the probability of occurrence of a given value in the image. And that is given by the histogram or the probability density function PL. for all gray levels L. A measure of information should have certain characteristics. So let us say H of P is a measure of information, and that should be a function of P of L, which is the probability density function. And it should satisfy these criteria. HP should be continuous for P between 0 and 1. P of L, the probability density function, must have values between 0 and 1, being a probability. If it is a histogram, it must be normalized. HP is infinite for P equal to 0. If the probability of occurrence of an event is 0, then if it occurs and you observe it, the information conveyed is infinite. That is one of the basic principles. If the probability of occurrence of something is 1, it is definitely occurring. And if you observe that event, the information conveyed is 0, because you know it is occurring. So these are the premises of statistical information. If the event P2, if a probability P2 is less than P1, if an event has a probability less than that of another event, HP2 must be greater than HP1. The information conveyed by an event with a lower probability of occurrence is higher than that of an event with a higher probability of occurrence. So it is inversely related. If two statistically independent image processes or pixels or gray levels, F and G, are considered, the joint information of the two sources is equal to the sum of their individual measures of information. So HF, G, F, G means observing them together. The joint information is HF plus HG, if they are statistically independent. And I'll give you the definition of statistical independence later, but two processes are statistically independent if the joint probability is equal to the product of the two individual probability density functions. And these requirements are met by this function H of P equal to minus log of P. The base of the logarithm need not be specified. I'll come to that later on. By using the negative of log, you can verify that all of these conditions are met. Now, just a couple more minutes and I'll finish. I could go perhaps 2 minutes after 6, but we will finish soon. When a source generates a number of gray levels with different probabilities, we're not considered with one probability, but many probabilities of gray levels. There could be L gray levels, 256 gray levels. How do you combine all of the information? Then the entropy, there is an entropy for every value, and then you need the average entropy, PLHPL. The probability of occurrence of each level L is P of L, and for each one of them there is a measure of probability, measure of information rather, which is H of PL. And using minus log of 2, base 2, I'm sorry, minus log base 2, in place of H, we obtain this definition. H is minus the sum PL log PL. We said just now that log of P is a measure that satisfies all the rules that we stated. And each level L has a certain probability PL. So we have to take log of P of L. And each level L has a probability, hence that information must be weighted by its probability of occurrence, PL. And sum over all of the levels, and that is the sigma. And because P is less than 1, log of P will be negative, and to make the measure positive, you put a minus there. So this is the definition of entropy based upon the probability density function PL, which is the normalized histogram of the image, or the source of the images or category of images represented by a certain probability density function. And because gray levels are considered as individual entities, you are measuring the gray level of each pixel separately, not considering the neighboring pixel values. This is known as zeroth order entropy. The zero refers to the number of neighboring pixels that you are counting, and because you're not considering any, that is, you're taking zero of the neighbors, this is called zeroth order entropy. So this is the definition of entropy based upon the probability of occurrence of each gray level, which is related to the histogram. And differentiating this function with respect to PL, it can be shown that the condition when the entropy is maximum is when all levels are equally likely. That is, the probability density function is uniform or flat. And you might have seen this in some courses on probability and statistics. So the maximum is when all of the gray levels are equally likely, and if there are capital L levels of shades of gray, then the probability of each one will be 1 divided by capital L. In that case, the average entropy of the entire source is this quantity, 1 over L log 1 over L, some L times, that is log of base 2 of L. And if you have k bits per pixel, then the number of gray levels possible is 2 to the power of k. The maximum entropy is k, and the units here will be bits if you use log to base 2. The maximum possible entropy with 8 bits per pixel is 8 bits. Okay? So that is the definition of a measure of information, which is the statistical measure of information called entropy based upon the histogram. So to emphasize this, entropy characterizes the statistical information content of a source based upon its probability density function, and the events are treated as random variables. The measure is not sensitive to and does not represent the pictorial, structural, semantic, or diagnostic meaning of the image. It has nothing to do with that. Entropy does not account for the spatial distribution of the gray levels. We don't know how the pixels are arranged in the image. We only know the histogram or the PDF. It gives a lower bound on the noise-free transmission rate and storage capacity requirements. If you have seen a course on digital communication, you would have encountered this. But for now, we can ignore that application. We will take up properties of entropy tomorrow.